Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.
Today, we bring you audio from the Embracing Autism IRL video podcast series. Welcome to Embracing Autism IRL. In this video series, we interview guests from a variety of backgrounds who are all linked together through autism. From advocates to therapists to parents and autistic adults, this series will take a well-rounded approach to sharing diverse perspectives on autism spectrum disorder. Our guests are encouraged to speak freely and be their authentic selves when discussing controversial yet critical topics in the autism community. If you'd like to watch the full unedited video of our interview-style podcast spinoff, Embracing Autism IRL, please subscribe to our YouTube channel of the same name and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Autism Wish. New episodes release monthly.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Embracing Autism IRL. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Danny Bowman, a young and talented animator, artist, and entrepreneur on the autism spectrum, who is passionate about using her skills to help others and dedicated to inclusion and diversity. Despite being diagnosed with autism at age 3 and nonverbal until 6, Danny has overcome these challenges to become an accomplished artist, animator, mentor, and inspiring speaker. She founded her own company, Dannymation, when she was just 14 years old, and Dannymation UK in 2019. Danny has taught animation to over 2,000 students with autism and premiered 11 short films at San Diego Comic-Con. As a national speaker and cast member of the Emmy-winning Love on the Spectrum US, Danny uses her platform to inspire and mentor others. Hi, Danny. Welcome to Embracing Autism.
And hi, Leah. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's great being here.
Thank you so much for joining in. I wanted to start off this conversation learning a little bit more about your background. Could you tell me a little bit about your childhood and what inspired you to start an animation company at just 14 years old?
Well, just to let you know that I was born in Sherman Oaks, California on January 9th, 1995, but much to my parents' shock, I showed signs of being different before my autism diagnosis. But I wasn't speaking till almost nearly 6, and I showed signs, and I've communicated through gestures and sounds, especially relying on my mom's understanding. But despite these challenges, I found solace in cartoons and drawing. They worked my teachers in understanding emotions and communication, offering a comforting contrast to real-life interactions. And what truly sets the art in the cartoons apart is the emotions etched on the animated faces, teaching me the language of expressions, how to be sad, how to be happy or mad. Animation has been more than just entertainment. It's been a guiding light in my journey through autism, giving me the purpose and insight into the world of emotions and expressions. But one fun example I would say is that when I was little, I used to play around with the VHS tapes. I used to play stop rewind at the point where I've tried to figure out what makes the animation move, what's so special about it. And that's why I asked my parents if I could just experiment movement with a plush by taking pictures with a plush toy in the camera. Before I know it was called stop motion. So what I did is I take a picture, then I moved them, take another picture, moved them. And then when I see the picture being finished, I would ask my parents to flip and roll to see how this works. However, my two big inspirations to start my animation company at age 14 stem from pivotal moments during my childhood. One significant influence was a classmate from Calvert Elementary School, whose captivating show-and-tell presentations fueled my passions for storytelling and drawing. His imaginative picture books and PowerPoint animations sparked my creative drive and ignited my desire to craft my own narratives. And additionally, my fascination with Pokemon introduced me to the remarkable story of Satoshi Tareji, a person on the autism spectrum who founded the company Game Freak at just 17 years old. And learning about Tareji's journey motivated me to embark on my entrepreneurial path at the age of 11, determined to surpass his achievement and establish my animation company without any delay. But I didn't start my animation company alone. I moved in with my aunt and uncle at age 11 after my parents' divorce, unfortunately. My aunt and uncle have noticed my talent when it comes to drawing, and they've witnessed my primitive, the software that I used primitively was Adobe Photoshop, MS Paint, and PowerPoint presentations. After Sandy and Patrick witnessed that, I had the help from my Aunt Sandy and Uncle Patrick, who were business owners themselves, gave me the push that I need to get my company started. Patrick is the chief financial officer, and Sandy is the chair and marketing director of Dnimation. You see, nobody works alone.
That is so cool. It's kind of like a family business.
We've been running Dnimation for the past 15 years.
Wow, that's awesome. So can you share a little bit about how that journey that started in animation ultimately led you to becoming involved with Loved on the Spectrum, which seems completely different from what you were doing before?
Well, this is also completely unexpected. While having an animation company has been successful for a long time, one thing that I've been missing is finding love. The primary motivation behind my decision to participate in the show stemmed from the difficulty I faced in finding the right time for dates, given my focus on developing Dnimation and education. Most people my age seemed interested in partying, hanging out, and playing video games, activities I have no time for. And upon discovering the original Australian version on Netflix, I was pleasantly surprised by its authentic and positive portrayal of individuals on the spectrum. It quickly became a favorite of mine, showcasing the potential for people on the spectrum to find love and build lasting relationships. Unlike other reality shows that thrive on the drama, Love on the Spectrum took an authentic and respectful approach to depicting individuals with autism. In 2019, I had the pleasure of meeting Keegan O'Cleary, the director and executive producer of the Australian version. His invitation to join the US version was an exciting opportunity for me to explore the journey of finding love there with their assistance. It was also thanks to my UCLA peers instructor, Dr. Liz Logeson, who works closely with Keegan, and entering the filming process, particularly the prospect of finding a blind date, made me nervous. However, the team's supportive approach eased my concerns. They encouraged me to be my authentic self, accommodated my schedule, allowed breaks whenever I needed, and provided ample notice before the shooting sessions. After the show released in May 2022, the show not only reached out the autism community, but also a wider audience, shedding the light on the individuals with unique wants and needs beyond the stereotypes. It showcased the diverse spectrum of autism, emphasizing that we're all different yet share common desires. This portrayal received a huge positive response, marking a significant step towards understanding and acceptance. Personally, it boosted my visibility for my company, Dnimation, enabling us to reach more students globally. If you think season one is impactful, season two, which released on January 19th this year, has brought more attention with being number three on the top 10 in the first 3 weeks. Not only that, this brought attention to my company more than ever, which I did not expect. As a self-advocate, it fulfilled my lifelong mission of highlighting our differences and strengths to the general public, achieved by the show Love on the Spectrum. And right now, Adan and I are in the relationship since May 2023. Our relationship keeps going strong, one step at a time.
That's pretty inspiring, I think. Also, again, as a parent who has daughters who might be going through what you went through with the difficulties of trying to find that first love, I really appreciate that you were willing to be open and honest on camera and share such a private part of your life. That's hard for a lot of people to do. So that was really impressive. I really appreciate that you were willing to do that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So along with the show, a lot of people who are watching it, especially in my circles, are parents of autistic kids. And Love on the Spectrum sheds light on the complexities and nuances of dating and relationships for autistic individuals. As you were filming this, what were you hoping parents of autistic children would take away from watching your story and other stories on this show?
This show has offered a profound glimpse into the details of dating and relationships for individuals on the spectrum. Through our stories on the show, I hope parents of growing autistic children gain a deeper understanding and appreciation for the unique journey of their children to navigate in the realm of love and connections. But most importantly, know how to stay safe, like setting boundaries from the get-go, ask questions to make their date feel important, get to know their own sexuality, know the appropriate time of when to kiss, like on the fourth or the fifth date, and how to recognize red flags. Because it's very important for the parents to educate their autistic children who are growing up as adults how to be safe, and especially from toxic relationships. And it's crucial for parents to recognize that while their children may face challenges, they also possess the capacity to form meaningful relationships and find love. By witnessing our experiences, I aim to inspire hope and foster empathy, encouraging parents to support and empower their children and the rest of the neurodiverse community as they navigate the complexities of dating and relationships.
That is really helpful insight. I think parents like myself get really nervous when we start thinking about our kids growing up and dating. And I think it's usually difficult to begin with, but with an autistic child, you're even more nervous. So again, thank you for sharing that.
Oh, no problem. Anytime.
One of the other struggles is building relationships. I mean, that can be challenging for anyone, whether or not you're on the spectrum, but it can present specific, unique hurdles for individuals who are on the spectrum.
People on the spectrum, but also other types of neurodiversity.
Yes, exactly. So what advice would you offer to parents whose children might be struggling? Like they're starting to date maybe or trying to get interested in the dating world, but they're struggling to navigate social situations or to form friendships?
Well, this is a tough one, but I'll do my best as I can. Navigating social situations and forming friendships can indeed pose unique challenges for individuals on the spectrum and other neurodiversity. For parents whose children are facing these hurdles, I would offer the following advice. Number one, foster the understanding. Educate yourself and your child about autism and its impact on the social interactions. Understand their challenges and strengths can help both you and your child navigate the social situations more effectively. Two, encourage communication. Encourage open communication with your child about their feelings and experiences. Create a safe space and supportive environment where they feel comfortable expressing themselves without judgment. Number three, provide opportunities for your child to develop and practice social skills. This could involve enrolling them into social skills groups like UCLA peers, engaging in structured social activities, or role-playing common social scenarios at home. That's how I first met Dr. Liz Loggison, and she taught us the importance about having conversations back and forth, don't be a conversation hog, all this. Number four, encourage your child to pursue their interests and passions. Share interests that can serve as a fountain for forming friendships and connecting with others who share their similar hobbies. Five, be patient and persistent. Building relationships takes time and effort, so please be patient with your child and celebrate their process, no matter how small. Encourage them to preserve and remain open to new experiences and friendships. Six, advocate for inclusion. Advocate for inclusive environments where your child feels accepted and valued for who they are. Work with schools, communities, and organizations and peers to promote the understanding and acceptance of neurodiversity. And by providing understanding, support, and opportunities for growth, parents can help their children on the spectrum to overcome social challenges and develop meaningful relationships that enriches their lives, especially dating and how to be safe.
Absolutely. So I'm going to pivot a little bit and talk more about your animation side. Outside of your involvement with Love on the Spectrum US, you're also an accomplished animator and advocate for autism awareness. So how have you found the balance between those two and incorporated your personal experiences and perspectives into your creative work in animation?
Since I have started my company 15 years ago, my original idea was to make my company like all animation studios. But when I noticed the statistics and the large employment gap of people on the spectrum and other neurodiversity due to communication social skills barriers, like the inability to succeed in a job interview or not understanding the hidden curriculum, I imagine how hard it is for people neurodiversity, including autism. So I made Deanimation as a social enterprise that helps educate, elevate, and empower people on the spectrum by helping them turn their passion into a career that will bridge the employment gap. And speaking of, while working at Dinimation, I also try to do my best as I can to balance my one-on-one animation sessions and my work life. This is our challenge right now for Dinimation. And incorporating my experiences and perspectives into my creative work is fundamental to everyone, as I do as an animator and an autism advocate. My personal journey with autism fuels my storytelling, influence the themes, characters, and messages in my animation. Throughout my work, I strive to portray authentic representations of individuals on the spectrum, showcasing their diverse talents, challenges, and triumphs. That's why Dinimation has a work as you create model, because people on the spectrum have a creative voice. And my advocacy for autism awareness and acceptance extends beyond my company's animations, as I use my platform to educate and inspire others through our one-on-one animation sessions and through the animation camps that I teach every summer. Whether through public speaking engagements, workshops, or collaborations, I aim to promote understanding, acceptance, and inclusion for individuals with autism. And every project I undertake is infused with the mission of spreading awareness and fostering empathy. By sharing my experiences and perspectives, I hope to empower individuals on the spectrum and other neurodiversities to break down the stereotypes and create a more inclusive society where everyone is valued for who they are and have the chance to express with their own animation work.
So it seems like animation has become a medium where people who might feel different can express how they're feeling or express their insights or share a different perspective just through the animation. And it seems like you're very passionate about animation and a lot of who you are comes out through your animation work. Is that accurate?
Can you say the question again?
Is it accurate that you feel like your animation talents allow you to express your authentic self?
It is true, yes, and especially because everybody has a creative voice. You cannot take the creative voice away. Not even AI can do that. So this is a little tangent, but AI has been a threat when it comes to creativity. AI can enhance things, but you don't use AI to replace creativity.
I completely agree with that. So what are your hopes for the future of autism advocacy and representation, both in media and in society as a whole?
My hopes for the future of autism advocacy and representation are rooted in fostering greater understanding, acceptance, and inclusion for individuals on the spectrum. In the media, I aspire to see more authentic and diverse portrayals of autism, where characters are depicted as multi-individuals with their own strengths, challenges, and aspirations. It's not just the characters that you see on media or our favorite characters. Don't get me wrong, I really love the authentic portrayals of autistic characters played by autistic actors. But it's not just about the characters, it's also about behind the camera or behind the desk, drawing. And by showcasing the rich diversity on the spectrum, we can challenge stereotypes and promote empathy and acceptance. I envision a future where the autism and neurodiverse community are valued for their unique perspectives and talents, and where they have equal access to opportunities and support services. This includes advocating for inclusive education, employment, and community spaces that accommodate the needs of individuals on the spectrum. We at Dinimation, autism organizations, and advocates are working together to help increase representation of individuals with autism in leadership roles, decision-making process, and public platforms, and being part of the creative team by helping them overcome communication and social skill barriers. And by amplifying their voices and perspectives, we can ensure that autism advocacy is truly led by those with lived experiences. Ultimately, my goal for Dinimation is to bridge the employment gap for individuals with autism by providing programs that will enhance their skills in art, communication, and social skills so they can thrive, pursue their dreams, and contribute meaningfully to society, free from the stigma and discrimination. And by continuing to raise awareness and acceptance, promote acceptance, and advocate for inclusive policies, we can work towards realizing the vision.
So you kind of already talked about this a little bit, but I want to ask you more directly. Our podcast is called Embracing Autism. To us, that means like taking a step beyond just accepting autism and going to that level of embracing. But what that means to different people is different things. So I was just curious, from your perspective, What does embracing autism mean to you?
What does it really mean to me? It's something that I am born with, as what Sandy told me. Being on the autism spectrum means that it's just part of who I am, like having brown hair or hazel eyes. It's also about having unique abilities that nobody has. It's a different way of thinking. Imagine, neurotypicals are like a PC, while neurodiversity is like a Mac. It also means embracing your unique differences and your abilities. We are all very different. But the most important step of embracing your autism, just love yourself for who you are.
That is so, so true. I think that that's the part that people struggle with at the beginning, particularly the ones who may not know that they're autistic until they find out later in life. But thank you so much for that. We're going to wrap up here, but there's a couple things I just want to ask you. Are there any resources that you feel like you could share with my audience? Anything that you would like for them to know about?
So just to let you know, we have a free introduction animation class every Saturday that occurs from 11 to 1 p.m. Pacific. This is our official website. If you go to dannyacademy.com/free, you could be able to learn about our free classes. And it occurs from 11 to 1 p.m. Pacific or 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern. And this is where you fill in your first, last name, your email and your phone number and your zip code and the student information and select your free class date. And during our free introduction animation class, we do lots of fun activities. We also have a book called People Are Clumsy and That Is Okay, our latest book that released of May of 2023. This is one of my latest books that I've published, so you can get it on Amazon. It stars the character Ruby the Heart Jam. It's about an anthropomorphic red jam that is always looking for good and positives for people and things. So this book is available on Amazon for $20 paperback copy or $10 digital.
And I believe you also have a Facebook and Instagram account as well.
We do have a Dannymation Linktree, which means you can go to our Facebook, Dannymation ENT, or you can find me on Danny Bowman. We also have an Instagram, a TikTok from me, a LinkedIn, a YouTube, my ex. We also have a Patreon page, and we also have a Threads page. Our Linktree has our Dannymation Entertainment website, my own personal website, our free introduction animation class. We also have a Redbubble store if anybody is interested in buying our merchandise.
So it sounds like the place to go is DannyBowman.com and DannyMationEntertainment.com to find a lot of these resources you're mentioning, right?
That's right. But to clarify it, Dannymation Entertainment is a company website, and it's mostly about animation classes and animation studio productions, whereas my Danny Bowman website is just basically about my personal life and my portfolio.
Got it. And then your Facebook was listed as at Dannymation ENT and Instagram at Danny Bowman 1.
But I also have a separate Facebook account under Danny Bowman.
So you guys heard that. There's many ways to follow and support her. We will share and include all those links in the description of the episode as well, so it's easier for everyone who's listening to find them. Danny, thank you so much for joining the show. This was a really great conversation, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
And it's really nice meeting you, Leah, and congrats for 8 months for your third daughter.
Thank you so much. I hope to chat with you again.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye.
This has been the audio from the Embracing Autism podcast live stream series. Please check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@autismwish to catch these shows live. Otherwise, stick around next week for our next episode. This is Embracing Autism.